Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, I am excited to introduce Dan Brown from Revance Therapeutics. And he's coming to us live on Skype all the way from up north, San Francisco area. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dr. K. I'm calling from scenic Northern California, the Bay Area. It's a wonderful day today.
It looks pretty outside.
It's beautifully sunny, and we feel fortunate to live in an area like we do.
Well, I'm thrilled to talk to you. On my podcast thus far, we've had Brent Saunders from Allergan, we've had David Modizetti from Evolus, and now we have Dan Brown from Revance, so very cutting edge. We're getting all the insights. Many injectors from all around the world follow my Instagram account and listen to our podcast, so tell us a little background about Revance and what potential products are coming.
So Revance has great respect for those individuals and companies that you just mentioned. And I think our focus is a little different from others. We are really, Dr. K, trying to transform the user experience by delivering products with vastly different features and benefits. And you identified one of them. One is this longer duration for a neuromodulator. But we also want to address the response rates from the early onset and out to a 6 months. And the Secure and the Belmont data was very supportive of that. And I think what's even more striking is how many of those patients even went beyond 6 months to 9 months. We're the first and only company as part of our phase 3, phase 2 trials that follow patients out to 9 months. It really indicates there's something fundamentally different about the Revance formulation. For now, we call it DAXI, D-A-X-I. Mm-hmm. Its ability to take that formulation where we integrate the active drug substance, the botulinum neuromodulator, with this proprietary, very unique new chemical peptide that facilitates this longer duration and a more targeted approach to delivering the neuromuscular to the neuromuscular junctions.
Wow, so that's a mouthful. So for those of my listeners who are everyday people, we are talking about a new form of Botox, and I use that word like the word Kleenex or Xerox. It's basically a verb now. So there are many different forms of Botox out there on the market, and traditional brand name Botox lasts for about 90 to 120 days. And then we have Evolus, which has produced a Botox called Juvo, the new tox, which also lasts about 90 to 120 days. And so your formulation of Botox is unique and different because it would hopefully last up to 6 months and maybe even 9 months, according to what you're saying.
Well, I think that, you know, the median, we look at, when you look at the range of severities with patients who come into your practice, when you look at the different conditions of the skin, what we look at is the median, right? At what point do 50% reach that 6 month duration? And that's to hold them to mild. So when you treat them, they present into your office, they don't like their lines. How long can they keep the none to mild? That's a median of 6 months. Now, when you look at the curves, they go out beyond. There's patients that go all the way out to 9 months. But we're very confident once we get the drug approved that we'll have, for the first time, move that bar that you mentioned from 90 to 120 days out to 24 weeks. And they don't return back to their starting baseline for a median until 28 weeks. So yeah. It's a really exciting addition to your tool set to treat these patients. And I also say it's not just duration. It's actually the response rates. Its onset is very fast. When you look
at each of those
2 weeks, 1 month, 2 months, at each of those, it's more responsive than any other neuromodulator in market today.
How fast does that response start time? Like, when does it kick in?
So we see from patient diaries, which the regulatory agencies have not accepted as validated data, really in a couple of days. So our first actual examination by a physician such as yourself is at 2 weeks. So we know in about two weeks we're starting to see the peak onset. And by 4 weeks, which is our primary efficacy, you've kind of maxed out your early benefit. And then you have this natural decay down to 6 months and potentially longer.
That's kind of amazing. I think that's something that would really revolutionize the industry because patients are definitely asking myself, as a consumer of Botox myself, I'd love to have a 6 month version, something that lasts longer and kicks in faster. And what do you think it is that's different about this peptide, which you called excipient peptide technology, that makes the product so unique?
So I think from our perspective, it is both been correlated in the preclinical studies, in vitro studies, as well as the clinical studies. This peptide is really exquisite at stabilizing the formulation without all the excipients that are in other formulations. So we've removed all the animal and human excipients from its formulation. So we essentially just have the 150 kilodalton, the smallest form of the botulinum neuromodulator, and we formulate that with the peptide and then just a few sugars to stabilize the drug. So we provide it to you without refrigeration. You just get it in the ambient position. You can ambient, and then you just store it as is up to 2 years without refrigeration. But actually being able to stabilize the product in vivo and being able to attach the drug at the neuromuscular junction. So the combination of the toxin and peptide as a formulation allows you to get more efficiency of delivering that drug to the site of injection, and you're increasing the amount of deinnervation, and it takes longer to reinnervate over time. What's fascinating about the duration curves is they're nice, smooth shoulders. Typically, what you see in the other products is they're sort of a step function once they start to lose the effect, and then you start to lose it very quickly when you're out approaching that 90-day time frame. Mm-hmm. Here, we see a nice, smooth decay. And so we really see the combination of in two treatments or fewer, depending on what your starting baseline severity is, to have an annualized correction versus a more quarterly correction.
Interesting. So patients or people who are listening who don't know what excipient peptide technology is, basically it's the addition of a peptide molecule that somehow stabilizes or enhances the function of the toxin, right? And then certain... like the original brand name Botox has quite a few accessory junk proteins in the vial. And then Xeomin has come out with a product that they say is 10 times more purified with less accessory junk proteins. So you're saying you filtered out the human and animal-derived products, peptides, and then you have this other very stable peptide. Is that right?
We don't purify them. We don't use them at all.
None
so
at all.
So they are not in the formulation at all. Okay. So yes, we purify it from the 900 kilodalton botulinum complex down to 150 kilodaltons, just as that other product that you mentioned, the Xeomin product. But in our manufacturing, our formulation, we don't use any animal or human excipients at all in that formulation or in how we manufacture it.
If you had to compare it to Xeomin, how much more pure would you say it is than brand name Botox and Xeomin? What's
so
the spectrum?
But based on the published literature, we're both at the 150 kilodalton. So how we get there might be different and how we manufacture that particular product. What's unique about us is we take that 150 kilodalton and then add in the peptide, add in the sugars. Polysorbate 20 is the sort of preservative. It's another non-animal, non-human excipient that is intended. It's a very simple formulation that allows us to get that long-term stability just on the shelf, stability once in vivo, and then stability once it's attached to the neuromuscular junction.
Interesting. So which of the toxins then, and I was trying to look this up before we got online with you, which one have animal-derived proteins?
They all have, as part of their methods of manufacturing,
they all have bovines.
As part of their manufacturing.
Yes.
They'll either be human serum albumin, they'll have other excipients. That, you know, Dr. K, that fermentation process, originally the Shands method, is about 60 years old. Mm-hmm. What, you know, being last, if you will, to develop the next generation neuromodulator allows us to use today's more contemporary biologic manufacturing processes. We don't have to step back 30 plus years ago. So our ability to manufacture a biologic without any animal or human excipients is, I think, a manufacturing formulation advantage. And I think over time, you're looking at a product that has repeated use, potentially chronically. So if you're in the spasticity and the pain, but even in the facial aesthetics, reducing the immunologic profile, particularly for patients who are younger, could be a theoretic benefit over time. Now, all these products are safe and effective as deemed by the regulatory authorities. But I think from our perspective, we also want to look at opportunities to improve the long-term safety by having a more purified form without those excipients.
I'm always thinking about that for myself. I think that we are, unfortunately, the test generation for all these toxins and all of these aesthetic products. It's great. Our mothers just had Oil of Olay and Pond's night cream, and we have so much in our armamentarium. But in some ways, like, you know, we really need to think carefully when we give ourselves a vaccination or a booster shot every few months with a protein that may be immunogenic. I think it's so important.
You know, it's interesting. When we were starting the company, as part of our development mantra, we thought of this as a generational change. You know, we wanted to take what others had done well. As I mentioned, I think we have great respect for the Botox company, for the Allergan, the Botox brand. How do we create a next generation sort of type of product? To your point, is it's not about, we know that you can get a neuromodulator to work. There's multiple products here in the U.S. There's other products outside the U.S. The challenge, and I think it's not because of a lack of effort from industry, we've all tried. How do you make it better? How do you look at new routes of administration? That's really been our focus. I think if we wanted to just have another one of the products that's out there, that would have been a much simpler development process. To do something better than that, because the bar is high, has been a challenge. But I think we've executed that development program very well, and it's supported by the data in both Sakura as well as the BELMET trials, which will support what we believe our approval next year.
That's very admirable to go for that higher level of, you know, improvement and just move the entire industry in a better direction, I think. And it's true. We should be respectful of all the people that built this industry and the forefathers that are starting it. What do you think of Evolus's claim that they have high pure technology? How does that compare to your, you know, technology that you are using to make this ultra pure?
Well, it's a 900 kilodalton molecule. It's positioned as a comparable product to the Botox from a formulation perspective. It's a much different formulation. It's really using, as I mentioned, that old school manufacturing. It is not a more purified, which we are doing as part of the Daxi product and what others may be doing. You mentioned the Xeomin product, which is 150 kilodalton. I think for us, you know, getting both the simplest formulation and all those excipients out has been critically important for us, because it allows us to formulate it with this peptide in a very unique way. Mm-hmm. And I think that has scientific benefits, it has clinical benefits, and I think it will have regulatory benefits, and hopefully it will have long-term benefits as we look at not only use in facial aesthetics, because Daxi is not intended for glabellar lines. It's a drug that will be used in other areas of the face as we expand the label. But Revance also has a very strong therapeutic development pipeline, working in spasticity and other forms of pain, initially now in plantar fasciitis, but we'll also look in chronic migraine headache. So as we layer on more indications, having that more purified, I think it's going to be a distinct advantage, particularly at the higher doses.
So you are planning to market the product as a medical indication therapeutic versus some other companies that have marketed more as just a purely aesthetic product.
We approach this as a classic drug development in a kind of an evidence-based way. We actually see the aesthetic and therapeutic as being very complementary. Yeah. Very high bar for safety, very much based on evidence-based development sort of methodology. And we want a drug that, you know, just by the time will be first developed in aesthetics, but over time, every year and a half, we'll be layering other indications, both aesthetic and therapeutic. We actually learn from both sets of those anatomic areas. So what you learn in facial aesthetics will hold true in other areas of cervical dystonia and spasticity, and vice versa. What you learn there could come back and help make the drug or give us additional information to hopefully have the drug work even better in facial aesthetics.
How long is a process like this? You sound like a scientist. Are you a scientist by nature? Or are you a business person who's become a scientist?
I'm a business person who's learned the hard way over the last 15 years, and fortunate to work with some really brilliant scientists and innovators and inventors who taught me a lot along the way, and a great group of clinicians and investigators who I've had the privilege to work with. It's not an easy path to develop a new, and new doesn't necessarily mean innovative, but something truly innovative. And we've been starting at this since 2002. It's your classic Silicon Valley startup. You have to go through the whole innovation phase, and you go through the testing phase. And our first product was a wipe-on formulation of botulinum. as you can imagine, getting a large protein through a structure skin that was designed to keep things out was quite a technical scientific undertaking. We came close. We failed in phase three. We make no apologies for that. What we learned in topical is quite frankly helped Daxi. And we pushed the ball farther than anyone thought we could. We will focus on Daxi for now. I think we'll come back in the future to topical. But those are the type of audacious undertakings that we believe serve you and, quite frankly, your patients better by trying to push the bar of performance, the new routes of administration, less invasive. Mm-hmm. This whole movement from surgical to less invasive to topical is just an exciting, and it's just a rich opportunity for innovation, particularly in aesthetics.
Very exciting. Can you imagine topical Botox? I just like to dip myself in it, right? But so 2002 is roughly when Botox and Xeomin came out. So since then, you've been in this industry and on the business side of it.
So 2002, when we started the company, we were working on a bunch of different technologies that wasn't necessarily botulinum. Our first kind of commitment to derm was in 2006. We persuaded several prominent venture firms here in the Silicon Valley to provide us capital to move into work both in facial aesthetics and hyperhidrosis and this long-acting formulation. So it takes time, but we really like where we're at today. We think we've got something that's truly innovative, and we think it's something that patients and even physicians have been seeking for a long period of time, is how do we create sort of that toolbox to give patients what they want? And, you know, long-acting Daxi doesn't mean that the short-acting is going to go away. And it doesn't mean that segment of kind of price-conscious, the overall pie is going to grow from where it's at today. We're at roughly 10% penetration. We've got about 30 million consumers who are the right demographic group, who have the economic means, who are attracted to aesthetics, and about 3 million in treatment today. So it's not a zero-sum game. This is a way to kind of grow the overall aesthetics. We elect to focus on innovation and performance, but there will be other, you know, other products that will provide other needs in aesthetics.
Mm-hmm. I like that statement because there's room for growth for all of us. If 10% of patients are out there participating in aesthetics, we have a 90%, you know, growth pattern that's coming our way. Describe your history. So did you go to business school? Where did Dan Brown come from?
So I came from Arizona, went to school in Hawaii, ended up joining a medical device company out of school, W.L. Gore. Mm-hmm. Most people know Gore-Tex Fabric, but they had, at that time, a very strong medical device franchise around cardiovascular medicine. Was there 20 years, did two successful startups in Silicon Valley, and started Revance with two Stanford physicians who I knew well. And we're really excited about sort of this opportunity to use these peptides in unique ways. So I got a business degree as well. The scientists think I'm a business person. The business person thinks I'm a little more technical than most, but I think it serves me well.
That's awesome. So who were the doctors from Stanford that you started this with?
So Michael Dake was a very prominent internal medicine interventional radiologist who I worked with. And then Jacob Waugh was a scientist who Mike had brought over from Rice to the Baylor College of Medicine to Stanford to work on how do we take existing biomaterials and give them sort of new ways of remodeling soft tissue. So it was really the trifurcation of three of our expertise to put Revance together.
And if you had to kind of give Revance a personality, how would you say it differs from, for example, Allergan, MERS, or Galderma, or some of the other big companies out there? Like, what's the difference with your company?
I think the difference with Revance is it's very much a Silicon Valley culture. It's very entrepreneurial. I think our culture is really focused on this desire to be audacious, do what others never thought possible other than maybe the people who are in Revance today or are investigators or patients who've been treated. It's this gritty. It's a tough way to have a career in drug development. A lot of things don't work, and so you've got to continually come back, try and fail, and kind of learn from that. This ability to use your what is your weakness is you're small compared to those companies that you mentioned. but it also becomes a strategic advantage. Our ability to move very nimbly along the way. And we also want to be very empathetic to the people in the company, to our customers, the people we work with, and for our patients. It's that social understanding that I think, at least in many parts of the world, particularly in Los Angeles, Northern California, Cambridge, where you can take very sophisticated science and technology and put it into a verbiage that consumers can resonate with. And it's really that ability to communicate and have empathy. And those are our sort of cultural principles. Mm-hmm. And I think it's served us pretty well over the history of the company.
Amazing. What kind of person are you? Are you a person who's a morning person, night person? You seem like a very hardworking and energetic guy.
I'm a morning person. Mm-hmm. I actually I'm a night person too. I love live music.
You don't sleep, basically.
not good enough, but I enjoy the morning. I have a wonderful Peloton workout, or I can just come out and I'm sort of neurotic about skincare, particularly around facial cleansers, moisturizers, and sunscreen. So
I love to hear that from a guy. I never hear that.
I'm very committed to that. I think it's served me well. You know, I had some disadvantage growing up in Arizona when there wasn't as much of a focus on sunscreen. But I think it's a morning person, and for me, it's a fairly long commute to work. I live in San Francisco and Alamo, California, which is kind of in the East Bay. It can either be a 45-minute drive or an hour and 45 minutes, so I can do some work and turn on the music and find the latest and greatest musician that I enjoy. And it's a good part of the world to live if you enjoy music and food and a very intellectually curious community.
That's very true. Any favorite foods?
All. You know,
are you a foodie?
I really prefer international cuisine. I mean, we have this really melting pot. Between Asia, we have a very strong Indian community out here, particularly in Silicon Valley. The ingredients are wonderful. Very strong European influence as well. So it can rotate on an hourly or daily basis. We're very fortunate to have so many options, sometimes too many options.
Well, what advice would you have for beginning entrepreneurs out there, or people who are just starting out in their dedicated profession? You're someone who's really cut through a lot of hard work and, you know, reached sort of this pinnacle where you're just on the verge of such amazing, hopefully, success that's coming.
Look, I think somebody once described it to me. It's like getting in a riverboat, a raft, and going down a river. And there'll be periods of calm and there'll be periods of sheer terror as you're going over the rocks. And it's just really important to not get too high. You're going to see some highs and you're going to see some lows and continue to keep working at it. Usually when you're in these startup businesses, the people who are really believers are the people in the company and in those individuals, physicians who you're working with. And it grows over time and it's just keep plugging at it. It will come, and it's more of a marathon than it is a sprint. And the few successful sprints that you see in the literature and in the paper and on the news, there's a lot more that don't reach that point. So they just take longer, takes longer and costs more than you think. But hang in there. It will get there.
It takes 15 years to be an overnight success.
That's when somebody said it was an overnight success for Revance. I can tell you after...
it was not overnight.
It was not
and it's not over yet.
I got a fair number of scars in that, but I wear them proudly.
And it's still not over yet. You still have to pass, I guess, the major hurdles of FDA approval. So you've done three big trials, and the Sakura 1, Sakura 2, Sakura 3, and the Belmont trial. So what's next as far as, like, when can we get the FDA to give you some approvals?
Yeah, that Sakura program was the largest undertaking ever in facial aesthetics. It was a massive database. We did it not just because we wanted it large, but we wanted the broadest cross-section of patients. We had 65 centers in that trial. And so it allows us to look at those different segments, those subpopulations that as you see how the drug performs. But that work is now complete. We're finishing up the clinical study report. We're completing our manufacturing and all of our batches. We'll submit our BLA in the fall here in the next few months. And then we assume a 10 to 12 month review process by the agency. It seems in the second half of next year for an approval that that's far out. It's not that far away. Mm-hmm. We're starting to build our commercial team, and we're starting to develop our strategies. I think we believe we need to be as innovative on the consumer and with the physician side as we've been on the R&D side. So I think we're excited to build that team. We're getting to the right people. But how do we create that awareness for DAXI or whatever we end up trademarking the product? So patients come in and ask for something that they haven't asked for before, right? As opposed to the more generic version.
Right.
You know, why don't we create this awareness of the value and the experience? And how do we change the perceptions around neuromodulators? This is an opportunity for Revance to be different. And we need to use that as an opportunity to do something that no one else has done yet. Not that they haven't been hugely successful, but for us is we just have to look at it differently and changing those perceptions and mindset and make it very easy for patients to upgrade.
Yes.
If they've been on neuromodulators before, and if they haven't, even better. Now you give them that intimacy and that experience that will keep them in treatment for a long period of time.
Well, I can tell you how Revance needs to approach this millennial selfie generation. You need to work with providers like myself who have a big digital voice, because I am a person who's really dedicated to like knowing the research, understanding the science, and curating the experience for my patients. And I don't want to be the first to jump on any bus till a product's tried, true, and tested. But I do feel that, you know, when a physician believes in a product and comes across in a genuine way, and you express things in a way that millennials and the selfie generation and this new, you know, new generation of consumers can understand, that's how we bring knowledge to everyone about a new product out there. So yeah. I think it's interesting, you know, we're poised on this ability to change also how we teach consumers and how we teach other injectors and other physicians about the new products coming.
Well, you know, I think for us, as we look at the data, I think your point is there is an emerging millennial population. There's a male population. There's the kind of the core constituency that neuromodulator has been built on today. You've got an older population that is less responsive to neuromodulators.
Yes.
And what's interesting on the data so far, because it's such a large database, how each of those kind of segments is performing better than what's in the literature. So we're still mining that data. But it, once again, it reinforces this formulation is unique. It's different. And I think there's nothing in any of those segments that isn't going to resonate about a long-acting, a more responsive, a better experience. But you're right. I think this is an exciting time for aesthetics because you've got this convergence of existing users, new users. And as we said at the start, you know, there's 90% of the consumers in the U.S. are not being treated today with a neuromodulator. There's an extraordinary amount of growth available to this. It's not a zero-sum game for the industry or for you as a physician. We can continue to give you new and better tools, and we have to if we're going to continue to grow this space.
In 10 years, do you foresee that Revance and DAXI will potentially have other products in their pipeline, a filler, a liquid toxin, you know,
I think
the topical toxins?
Yeah, no, I think for us is our in 10 years from now, we will be our goal is to be a leader in the innovation side. And we'll have a portfolio of neuromodulators for the face, multiple indications over time. We'll have built out this robust neuroscience pipeline. And I think for us is we'll selectively look at products that may be complementary to a neuromodulator. It makes sense. And I think you mentioned filler, that could be one. There could be something else. I think for us is it's not so much about having the full suite of products, but having the most innovative set of products, because there will be other bigger companies that can have the bundle. For us is the best way to address the bundle is come up with products that they don't have and get them directly to you and to those consumers. That just is our strategy. It's not that it's the only one, but it's what we believe works best for us.
Well, I really look forward to your upcoming research being released, and hopefully, you know, maybe a year and a half from now, we'll see your product on the marketplace. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Yeah, it really is. I'd love to invite you to come out to LA in October. I'm going to have my master class, which I wanted you to come to last time, and it'll be so interesting for you to maybe talk about DAXI. So that's my official invitation, October 12th.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes, and thanks so much for spending some time with us today. I know that all the listeners out there are very interested in a 6-month product that's going to keep you smooth and beautiful, and I'm looking forward to trying it too. So thanks. Where can consumers find more information about Revance, or are you, Dan Brown, on Instagram yourself?
I'm a frequent reviewer of Instagram. I don't post a lot of stuff on Instagram. I use the platform as more the LinkedIn, more scientific.
Yes.
For us, as we try to post our information, we can't be promotional, obviously, as a non-approved product. But I think we try to be very transparent on the data. We try to get as much of this data peer-reviewed and published. The published manuscripts are on our investor page on our website. The most updated data as it relates to investor presentations is on that website. So I think we just take a very technical-based approach, but we listen, we follow all the platforms, social media.
Good.
And we try to distake that information and be intimate with it and respond to it where we can.
Well, I encourage you to get on Instagram and start your own Instagram and be posting every day. As CEO of a company, you can speak as a CEO without promoting your products, because I taught Brent Saunders how to do his first boomerang, and now he's got a real social following. So I think you have a really important voice, and as a leader and sort of an industry trendsetter, you should get out there with me. Join me on the gram. Yes, and everybody listening out there, you can find me on my Instagram doing amazing things with people's faces at Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y, and my website is the same, www.beautybydrk.com, and try my amazing skincare. Dan Brown, I'm going to send you a sample, since you're a skincare fanatic, of my really nice hydrating serum. Guys love it. So stay tuned for more information. I'm always dedicated to my followers and listeners, and I'm always going to give you the best cutting-edge information about the newest technology for faces and aesthetics. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Dr. K.